This is August the 19th, 1962, and this is the second part of this trip at Eagle City on the Yukon River. And the time now is 5 minutes after six, Fairbanks time. The reason I mention that each time, because Dawson's 1 hour different.
Yeah.
And I have in the car here with me a gentleman from Fairbanks. He's a member of the Pioneers. And will you give your full name?
Andrew Gayak.
Andrew Gayak. And where were you born, Andrew?
Hungaria.
Hungaria? Do you remember the town?
Nutschad.
Nutschad. Yeah, I think I heard somebody else born in there.
No, I told you that to meet you. Nothing at all.
I know one of the GIs that was on
there. Dawson.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many family do you have?
I never was married.
Adopted a family because you came to Eagle with 12 boys.
I know, but...
You adopted a family.
No, I adopted sometime.
Okay, now, you're going to take us up and show us where the cemetery is here at Eagle City.
Okay.
And you just mentioned here before we leave about a cabin next door to where you've allowed us to stop tonight. Will you give us some of that history, which you mentioned?
Well, that's they claim was the first courthouse was built on the Yukon River. That's the first court was held by Wickersham.
This one here?
In Eagle, Alaska.
His opinion is that he believes that this was the first courthouse where Wickersham held court in Alaska. Eagle was the oldest city in this area.
That's right.
We'll move on down to the cemetery. Now, we just visited the old military cemetery at Eagle and visited some of the graves. I took three or four exposures in there, or pictures of it in black and white. There's not too much history of it available right at the moment. Maybe we'll run into somebody that knows more of the ancient history of it. Okay? We just stopped here and took a couple of photographs of the early day building built in 1896 here. It used to be a stable. There's over 100 stalls, it appears to me, in and a large loft. And there's a lot of historical equipment in here, and the folks at Eagle hope sometime they might get this building for a historical museum and a place to create a little interest for the tourists in this area. We also took a snapshot of another old building here that we supposed may have been the old hospital here at Eagle when it was a military base. Also, there's a beautiful rainbow over here across the Yukon River from Eagle. Now we'll move on up to the other part of town.
This is Eagle Air Base. Was built during the when they built the dual line. When they went to Canada, building the dual lines.
And do they maintain it yet?
Yes, they maintain it winter and summer.
Do you know what kind of planes come in here now?
Oh, they two motor planes.
Tri-motor can come in here?
Yeah, they could come in.
The big planes can land in. Do you know what the length of this field is?
No, I don't. I don't know what's the length of it.
It looks like it's about 3,000 or 4,000 feet, isn't it?
Oh, it's very long.
Mm-hmm.
So
you
wouldn't get off two
pumps. We just stopped here at the old native cemetery where the Indians are buried on the banks of Yukon at the old village of Eagle. And they've used up the main part of this cemetery where it's fenced, and they've moved outside in among the willows. There's a number of graves on the outside of the cemetery here. We have a beautiful rainbow shining down on this cemetery at this moment on the banks of Yukon. The time is August the 19th at 7 o'clock in the evening, on Sunday evening here at Eagle City. On the banks of the Yukon. We just went down and visited the native village of Eagle. It's located about 3 miles upstream on the Yukon, and the Yukon at this point flows almost due north. And the Eagle native village, is located less than 5 miles from the Canadian border. It's about 12 miles by river from this village to the Canadian border. And there are about 30 natives down there, and they live about as they did for hundreds of years. They little boys are out packing the water, and the women are out gathering berries, and the youngsters, they have a school and a church there, and they have a powerhouse for electricity for the school and church. I notice they're living in the old sod buildings with log walls and dirt floors, many of them, some of them wood floors, and even the grass still growing out of the roofs of them. There was two or three of them there that were rebuilding their buildings, fairly modern, with more civilized tools and methods. But many of them live as they did hundreds of years ago, their ancestors, before white man come here. And this is one of the oldest towns in Alaska. It was probably the first military base, as far as we know, in this area, and it's went backwards to a point where now there's no real industry here. They do fish for a living and they hunt. They don't have any tourist business here at all. There's very few tourists get in to see this part, although the road was excellent from the border in here and from the highway. It was excellent road coming in. It's raining right now. We had beautiful sunshine all day. I took several photographs of the native cemetery and the native village down there. We're finished up for the night here at Eagle in this gentleman's cabin here. He's let us stay for the night in. And I think we'll get ready to retire shortly. Maybe in the morning we'll see some more sunshine. I'll say 30 for tonight.
Well, after all, we didn't go to bed. And it's getting pretty dark, and we come down here to visit another old-timer. Now, you give me your full name.
George McGregor.
George McGregor. And where were you born, George?
Born in Seneca, Missouri.
Seneca, Missouri. When did you come to Alaska first?
I came to Alaska in 1917.
Mm-hmm. When did you settle here in this town of Eagle?
1954. No, hold on, excuse me. 1957, I think it was.
What do you do for a living?
I mine practically all my life in Alaska.
You have some claims you work at here?
Not now.
No? Kind of retired now?
I'm retired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm old enough. 75 next November.
Oh, you're older than I thought you were.
Yeah, 75 next November. Mm-hmm. I had some ground down here that Patty is working on now. Down at Woodchopper.
Which Patty is that?
Well, that's Dean Patty. He
Dean
used to
Patty.
Be the, yes.
Mm-hmm. I know him,
yeah.
Too.
And he's working on the two creeks there, Coal Creek and Woodchopper. Well, I had some ground on the creek that emptied into Woodchopper, a ground called Mineral.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that for a good many years, and I worked there, and that's about all I've done since I've been in Alaska, and trapped a little in the winter and mined in the summer.
Well, you look plenty healthy to me.
Well, I feel pretty good. I can't kick, can't complain.
Well, you've got a nice little cabin here. It's clean and it's warm.
Yes, it's warm. That's the
How
main thing.
How do you
thing.
Fare in the winter here?
Well, we fare pretty good. Lots of wood. That's the main thing. Have lots
There's
of wood.
There's plenty of wood around.
Lots of wood, yes.
But
yes.
You have to rustle it.
Well, I buy mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's always someone around here that needs a little work.
Yes, the Indians up here, they cut the wood. And for Horace Biederman, he's the NC man here.
Yeah, there's an NC store here in operation.
There's an NC store in operation, yes. And he has the contract to get the wood and for the well house and for different ones around here that needs it.
Mm-hmm.
So I buy my wood off of him this last year. I cut my wood before until last winter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm just living here now and watching the world go by.
You're a member of Igloo 4, Pioneers of Alaska.
I am.
At Fairbanks.
Proud of it.
Mm-hmm, thank you. Let's see, what else must I ask you now? Maybe you can tell me a little yarn about the country on your own.
Well, I never had very much much excitement.
You have any game trouble here?
Game?
Yeah.
No.
No bear?
Oh, we have game, yes, but no trouble.
No trouble with them, huh?
No trouble.
Well, you manage to get some to eat once in a while.
we always get our meat. I've got my meat ever since I've been in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Got it from on the hoof, out in the timbers, out in the wilds.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well.
Do you plant a garden?
I plant a garden, a little garden.
How does the garden grow here?
Well, it's been growing good. Well, everybody here that plants a garden, we all raise our own spuds and greens and nearly all vegetables that you can raise outside. That is the hardy vegetables, you know. But hardly anybody here bought raise a garden. Because it's pretty handy. You dig it up with a shovel and
I know.
Yes.
Do you know a man by the name of Norman Hadley?
No, I don't think I do.
He's lived on the Tanana River down below where the old town of China was located since 1904. He's been along that river there.
No, I don't think I know him.
He's getting close to 80. We went down to visit him the other day.
Good.
See, me being a member of the Pioneers, they put the young ones to work. We got to go around and visit with all the older ones.
Well, you'll find quite a few around the country here, you know. Quite a few pioneers.
I've learned more about Alaska in the last year than I learned in all the years together.
Well, you take it all together, what we tell you, it might be a little... most people are pretty honest here, you know. We're all honest.
Well, I know a fellow by the name of Van Bibber over in Dawson.
Yes.
And here in 1960, I got a real good story from him about early Dawson. He told about the first wooden dredge that was there and about Hatfield the Rainmaker when he come there, and he really told him, embellished him real good.
Yeah.
I visited him the other day,
and
by gosh, I should have had the recorder. He talked for 2 solid hours, but I didn't get a chance to record anything this trip.
I've heard of him. I don't know him. I've heard of him.
Well, maybe you can think of some odd things that's happened here.
Well, I don't know. Of course, there's nothing that's exciting or nothing out of the ordinary. We live a pretty
quiet life
here.
Mm-hmm. How many white people are there in this area that you know about?
Well, there's about... You mean in the Igloo here, or in this area?
Around Igloo area here, yeah.
Well, it wouldn't be over 15 or 20.
No, I haven't seen very many, and
no.
I just wondered.
No, there was not.
But there, about how many natives would you believe there is here?
Oh, I think there must be at least 40 or 50 up in the village.
Mm-hmm. And is there some live out in the out away from here?
Well, most of the natives here live right up here in this in the native village.
Close together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're all close together.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's a few that they're not here. You can't call them here. Over on Tanana Cross and Northway and out through there, but that's not here, you know. That's not here.
About how often do you get a chance to go into town from here?
Well, you can go in twice a week.
You can?
Yeah.
There's a bus?
Plane.
A plane comes in?
Oh, yeah. Mail plane. We get mail planes.
Oh, it's a mail plane, and then they haul passengers.
Yeah, Fridays and Tuesdays.
Would that be Ween?
That'd be Ween.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we can always get to town pretty easy.
In the wintertime, the road closes up here, doesn't it?
Yes, the road closes. That's all closed. That's the only way you can get out there in the wintertime is by plane.
There isn't very many people keep dog teams anymore. How about the natives?
Well, they have a few, but not many. They don't have any use for them anymore. There's no more trapping.
They're going American and civilized way. They're going to fly every place.
That's right. They fly wherever they go. Yeah.
They're getting soft.
Yeah, they're getting too soft. I guess we all are. No, when I was down the river, between here and Circle and around there, I had a dog team all the time. I used to go trapping in the wintertime, see, and mining in the summer. I had a small creek shoveling in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wintertime, I had dogs, and I'd go out trapping. And when I came up here, I got rid of my dog before I left down there, and I come up here, and I haven't had a dog since.
Well, you see, if you had the dogs, you'd have to work harder.
I'd have to work for them. they wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, they have to work to feed them nowadays.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yes, it's been a pretty... I enjoyed every minute I've been in Alaska for the last... since 1917. Mm-hmm. I was out a couple of months and during the First World War.
Was you in the Army?
Yes, I went out in the Army. We went out when we were supposed to go on the Sophia that come in. Do you remember the Sophia sunk?
Mm-hmm.
We get on to Skagway and... the Prince Rupert was in. That's a Canadian boat.
I remember
boat.
That boat, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the Sophia was coming in, but they were overloaded. They were going to be overloaded, so they shot us out on the Prince Rupert.
Mm-hmm.
We met the Sophia when we went out. Mm-hmm. And before we got to Seattle, we heard she hit that rock and
lost
everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
There was quite a bunch of people that I knew, a lot of people that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was one or two, several here. Jimmy DeBois, he run the hotel up here. Mm-hmm. And down the round circle, there was quite a bunch of them. There was the Garner boys and Pete Anderson, his wife, and quite a bunch of them that I can't recall them just now, but I knew them all. But they all went down because they were, of course, we were soldiers, we were supposed to get out there quick, you see. So they shot us out on the...
Do you remember, do you know anyone around Circle? Do you know Jance Langlo?
Well, Langlo, yes, he's out on Switch Creek out there in the Circle.
I had a visit with him here last year. We made a trip up around through there.
Yeah, well, he's been out there a long time. He's no time.
He was in pretty good spirit. He wanted to talk and talk. We had a pretty hard time getting away from him. And then old George Parker over there.
George Parker.
Yeah, he lives right at Central City, right across from the roadhouse.
Oh, well, that's something.
Big old story and a half house.
Yeah, he come in there after I left, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, when I was down there, there was an old man by the name of Stead. He runs the Central there.
Mm-hmm. I remember him, but I don't believe he's there any longer.
No, he went out to some home out in Tacoma, I think it was. But then he'd be dead now because he was an old man then. But so far as the people that are. Since when I come in here, there's very few of them left, you know.
Well, there's a younger fellow there by the name of Olson. He's a member of the Pioneers. Lives down about two blocks from where the roadhouse is.
Olson?
Yes. Yeah. He has a home there, and Jance was over visiting with him when I run into him the last trip.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a Frank Young Jr. that has a cabin over there now at Central City. There's quite a few new people around there.
Yes.
And I met the folks that run the roadhouse. They've been coming up there about 8 years now. Gas station and roadhouse.
At Central?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't know them, I guess. No, there's several there that was there. Well, there's a fellow there. I think he's there now. Earl Stout, I think it was. He used to work on the highway out there. He's out there yet, I guess. I know him, but that's about the only one.
Well, you must have known Joe Ulmer.
Ulmer, yes, I knew him.
He's left us,
Yeah.
Henry Pell's left us. There's a lot
Yes, Henry Pell. Oh, yes. He used to come up here. He was up here with the Strack two or three times. That was just a few years before he died.
He's been trying to get, before he passed away, he tried to get Frank Young and some of us to take his boat and come up river someplace to mine. Frank knows where it is. Do you have any idea?
I wouldn't know.
Well, he wants us to come up the Yukon someplace 80 miles above Circle City, some mining ground he had. And we've been going to prospect, but we never get there.
Well, there's so many, you know, that they're going to get older. Mm-hmm. I think they've walked away and left something.
You know, I'm a funny person. A lot of people have offered me things, and I just wasn't interested. So I keep going, and I'm having just as much fun as I thought
I
was happy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, a lot of the old-timers here, they hate to quit. After they're gone, then they'll tell you, you know, how much money they left behind them. I wished I'd have stayed and finished that job.
Nothing bothers me anymore.
Bother? No. What, you live longer.
Yeah, as long as I can pay my bills and have a good time.
That's right. That's the main thing. If you're contented.
Mm-hmm.
Money don't mean too much.
Well,
you've got to have enough to live on, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I made a little money down there. That is, in a small way. I never made a million. I'm still working on my first million, yes. But then...
I'm going to stop this a little bit.
Most of my life?
I mean, before you come here to Eagle.
Oh, I was all over outside.
Yeah, but I mean here in Alaska.
Oh, in Alaska. Most of my life was down in the Yukon here.
Oh.
Yeah, around Circle and Fort Yukon.
Yeah.
Not too much around Fort Yukon, but most of it was around Circle and along the river. And then I was over on the when they started building the railroad.
Yeah.
That was that was 1920, around there.
Oh, you mean on the Alaska
Railroad? On the Alaska Railroad, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I worked out of there for a couple of years.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Then he came back into the interior here, and I've been here ever since.
You didn't stay much around Fairbanks, then?
No, I never stayed much in Fairbanks. I've been through there. I stopped over there. I used to go over once in a while, you know, and hang around and get acquainted with people, but I never lived there. You might say lived there.
See, I worked a while on the Alaska Railroad in 1910.
On the Alaska Railroad, yes.
I mean not the Alaska, Alaska. I mean the Copper River Railroad.
Copper River, yeah.
Out of Cordova.
I've been through Cordova. I come through there once, but I never stopped there. I didn't know anybody.
See, I walked into Copper Mountain. I worked for Gray, copper mine. Then I walked from there down to Copper River Railroad.
Oh.
I worked on the middle of June.
Mm-hmm.
Then I walked from there into Fairbanks. And then from Fairbanks out the Dome, 620 miles.
Walk.
1910.
You walked all the way, huh?
I walked all the way.
That's the way we got around in the early days here. No planes.
You tell me that I come in the tough way, the hard way.
The hard way.
And I guess I did.
Well, I think a person live longer doing it the hard way. You don't overdo it.
80 years old next year. Next year.
You what?
80 years old.
80?
Yeah.
There's another one. Gosh, yes. You don't look.
That's Jan's well seen.
No, they will claim that I don't look it.
No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't call you to be 80.
You just come to 60 in appearance.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a woman there in Dawson. She said, you might be, but she said your face don't look it.
Well, I think Alaska's a pretty healthy country.
It is. I've had good health. Except in 1910, I didn't. I was pretty sick down there.
Well, I was here. I had arthritis off of that that was about 4 or 5 years ago.
But you see, I had a bad cold, and then the grub was so poor down there.
Yeah, yeah.
So the man nurse told me, he said, if you want to live any longer, he says, you get out of here while you're able to walk. He said, yeah, it's going to kill you. I guess it would have, too, because there was 380 men slept in one tent, four bunks high,
ooh,
and it stood up on post, 2 feet of water, and there was only a plank laid in between the bunks, and the rest was all open water. Well, it's no wonder we got sick.
Oh, sure.
I got cold. So that's the reason I got out of there. I think I would have died if I'd seen it. Then after I got out there, got rid of my coal, got on the trail, and got rid of my coal, and walked at night, slept outside in the daytime. By the time I got to Fairbanks, we averaged 33 miles a day for 11 days from Copper
mm-hmm.
River.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got into Fairbanks, Lord, I felt fine. I'd gained weight, and I'm a little German fella. Yeah, I'd lost weight.
Well, it shows you. It shows you, you know, that if you sat around.
The only thing, I was all chewed up with mosquitoes.
If you sat.
I'm a mosquito now.
I believe if a young person sits around and don't do anything, I don't think he lives as long as a guy gets out and rustles.
No, if you take care of yourself.
That's what I mean, yes, yes. Yeah. Of course, you've been. I think the person.
They all said, well, the hard work didn't kill you.
No, but it's.
It's just sitting around or drinking and abusing yourself.
That's right.
In Seattle last winter, pretty near every day I walked 6 to 120 blocks a day.
Last
they're
winter.
Long blocks too.
It's pretty good for an 80-year-old, eh?
Yes. Yeah, I'd like to walk uphill just as fast as I walk downhill.
Good for you.
And lots of them say, what's the hurry? I'd go down, you know, and they'd stop and say, what's the hurry? I'd look around and see what was. I said, I got all kinds of time, but I said, I'm moving. I'd zigzag in between, you know, people, you know, and it was too slow ahead of me. So I'd walk around this way, around that way. I guess they thought I was crazy.
Well, it's good to feel that way at your age.
Oh, yeah, that's all.
Oh, sure.
Well, if there's nothing else, I'll terminate still. And your full name now?
George McGregor.
So George, I want to thank you for this interview, and it'll probably wind up in the Pioneer Tapes with everything else in the end.
Okay.
Because we're not going to live forever.
No, that's impossible.
And gents...
we're going to live as long as we can, anyway.
Well, Dean here was interviewed with you, and for the record on the tape, this will be the end of this interview tonight.
Now, this is the second visit to a pioneer here at Eagle City, and I'll ask him to give his full name. What is your full name?
Richard Bauer.
Richard Bauer. And when did you come into Eagle, Richard?
In 1924.
1924. When did you come into Alaska?
In Alaska, that's in 24.
1924, you come right to Eagle.
No, I worked 3 months in June, Alaska mine.
Oh, you worked down the old AJ?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you do out here at...
Now?
Eagle, yeah.
Not a thing.
You retired?
I retired.
Now, you're a member of Eagle 42?
Yes.
Also, you see. I'm on one of the visiting committees, and Andrew Wicken is. And we are supposed to call on all the pioneers in our travels and see how they are and let them know we're still around too and interested. Now, some of them have a little story to give us to the pioneers, or a little greeting.
Well, I don't know very many, see. Jerry didn't see Jerry Brissetta now.
Not yet, no. I don't know how long we'll be here tomorrow.
Oh, we will see him then.
Well, if we stay tomorrow, but the Jans wants to go home, you know.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. I ain't living here better than in Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
Cheaper.
Oh, yes. You can't live in town for what you
want. No. Sure, I don't pay no rent.
Mm-hmm.
Cabin is mine here.
Mm-hmm.
Do no rent cooking.
Well, you see, some of these boys in town are going to probably hear this tape later, or they'll hear something about this, and they'll all want to move out in the country.
Well,
cause you need
only thing is, you haven't got very much excitement, you know.
Oh,
that's a small...
Once you're out this way, you find too many things to do.
Oh, yes.
You go down to fish.
Yeah.
And there's some good fish close by here.
Oh, yes. Yes, we have.
I've seen some good-looking streams. They ought to have some pictures.
We have.
Mm-hmm. And I've been around taking pictures. I've taken about 6 or 7 rolls of pictures on this trip. And I made a tape recording from the time I started till the time I get back. And this is a part of this tape in addition to it. So maybe you'd like to ask him some questions about something here of interest that's happened. I want you to talk.
The roof.
What happened is nothing happened. The town is too small.
I can't believe that. Well, he took me around and let me visit the cemeteries and some of the old towns in the village down here and some of the buildings around town. Because this is my first trip into Eagle, and I've been 35 years in Alaska.
I was out this afternoon, you know. We were something... Coal mine got here on the Northern Creek.
I've seen some signs of that coal. That's something else I want to ask you. Is there any mineable coal close to here?
Well, we were hunting for it, see.
Well, you haven't located it.
No, we located it, right? We found float.
Outcropping?
Just float. The float, and then we followed the stream, you know, and we found the cropping, where must it come from?
It's low-grade soft coal, though, isn't it?
By God, it's good coal.
It is soft coal.
The float we find anyway.
You might take a few sticks of powder down there and blow a place out and try
it. No, we got a little cat, you know.
Yeah?
We might take the cat and strip it
mm-hmm.
to find it, see?
Mm-hmm.
coal here. Oh, here's a lot of coal around.
I saw the formation on the road coming in, and I couldn't help but think there was coal here someplace.
Yeah. See?
That's a lot of work, too.
There's Bobby Bix was here, you know. He told me in the early days they drove a tunnel into that coal mine. And that's I was
looking for the tunnel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're still going to go down and prospect then on that.
We might. Well, yeah, we go hunting first. You're we have to get us some moose.
You're going
to
get some meat.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen any game except on the road from Fairbanks up to Dawson. I did see some moose there, but there was a bear on the road right behind us today down by George King's, but we didn't get to see him.
We're going to take a boat, go on the river.
Mm-hmm.
Easier hunting on the river.
Easy to bring it back, too.
Well, sure. I can't pack no more. But I have to get it close to the shore.
Mm-hmm. Well, the packing gets kind of tired when you get
Boy, I should say.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Bob's in with the young chicken no more, either.
No, far away from the chicken.
Well, is several of you have a good boat to travel on the river here?
I haven't got no more boat. I got an engine right now.
Does anybody here have some boats around?
Yeah, no, got a good one. But Holy Speederman got 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
Hanson got one.
Mm-hmm. Anybody from Fairbanks ever come down here and put their boat in here? In the river?
Yeah,
there's once in a while hunting season?
Yeah, there are quite a few come down here. Even from the outside. Bring a boat and go down.
How far is it from here down to Circle by the river?
160 miles.
Only 160 miles?
Yeah.
Well, that's just a nice day's travel.
Oh, yes.
Bob
downstream,
sure
it's not.
Nothing to it going downstream. No. It's coming back.
It's a day's travel with a boat, but it's an awful long day to walk.
You know, the airplanes spoil the country.
They really spoil.
When I came from here all the way to Circle, Upper Creek, oh, got about 4 people living there. Now it's nobody. Only at Woodchapel, with the mining there, you know.
Yeah. They don't know how to live off the country anymore, do they?
No.
The farthest is a woodchopper from here.
Let's see. About 112 miles, I guess.
You take the early days, we could go out and catch fish for the dog beans, got steamboat wood.
There is.
We stayed here, now everything goes out for gasoline and aeroplane.
There is no more dog beans now.
No, what I mean, the early days we could make good money for the dog service.
I had a trip on the river here about a little over two weeks ago with the state welfare official, Mr. Zink. He wanted to visit the native villages down on the Tamanaw.
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't run a boat for 20 years. I used to run around the rivers. So I took Adolph Stock, the president of the Igloo, and Jimmy McDonald, and Mr. Zink. And I went down to visit Elmer Hadley and several of the native villages down below on the Tamanaw River, below Chena. And he got to see, there's about 30 natives down there that Jim Binkley has encouraged to come up there and set up a camp for the tourists. And they're catching more fish than they ever caught.
Yeah.
And they're putting it up. They're making a lot of extra money because that fish costs a lot more money today than it did when I first come here.
Yeah.
You could buy them for a dime a piece and it tickled to get the dime. Well, now it's 20, 30 cents a pound for fish.
25 cents they charge
you.
There is no, now they got the dog salmon coming, a few, not many.
Now I'm going to stop the tape and turn the reel over right now. This is continuing the story on the second side of this tape. Now you go ahead.
See, I joined, let's see, that's quite a while. I'm a life member, you know. I took out life membership. Let's see, that's Bob got me in. Oh, it must be 10, 15 years ago, something like that. I was still mining then.
I took Bob all around to Dawson the other day in the car to visit the Pioneer Home and over at the Sunset Home where they have the retired people, and down to the Sisters Hospital and around town that way. And he's staying at the Uptown Hotel over there. He says he's going to stay about a week.
How is he? Feeling
he's good. He's so chipper.
He was pretty bad shape here. I see the missus, you know, in Fairbanks when I was there. She went outside, you know, visit him. He was pretty bad shape. Oh, then he liked to come down here then. He stays with me all the time.
He does?
Oh, heck yes.
If he'd have known we was coming here, he probably wouldn't have stopped himself to get from coming.
Last time he was here, oh, heck, he and Weber, he had a plane, you know. Weber?
I remember Weber. Yeah, I know him.
Well, first I met him, I worked on a route then, you know. I met him out by Horace there. He told me, he said, how about frying fish? I said, you get the fish. I fried to, I don't know how many. He got a big salmon about that long.
I've been taking pictures as I go along, and I run out of color film, and I'm using black and white, and I'm on the tail end of that. So I would have liked to have been here in daylight and get your pictures too to put them on with the tapes. So maybe if I can catch you sometime here, not too far away, and get a picture of you too.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't spoil the camera.
Well, it makes these stories in later years after we're gone more interesting and more valuable. And we're building up a pretty valuable collection of tapes now.
Yeah, I wouldn't have very many years left.
No, well, it's hard to say.
There won't be any of us.
You're crawling up in age, too.
I will be 74 here. October.
74 in October?
Yeah.
Well, I got you beat.
Yeah?
I'll be 80 next year.
80?
Yeah, next year.
You better don't say that.
No, I don't say nothing.
No, no, but we're still getting up in years.
Yeah, that's what I said. We're getting up in years.
Yeah, anytime you pass 60, you start getting up.
You know, I went to the Seattle Fair.
Yeah?
And I met a couple there. And we got talking about this and that. And finally, she said, I can't get my father out. He always said he's living on board time. And I said, how old is he? 73. Well, I said, I'm 79. I said, I'm not living on board time. I said, I'm living.
You're living.
I
I said, no more time with me. Well, she said, that's the way to look at it. I said, sure. I said, she couldn't get him out of the house. He just said, oh, I'm too old. I'm going to limit my board time.
Oh, no, I can't sit in the house. I have to do a little, you know.
Well, that's the way it is. Oh, yeah, I got to get out.
Yeah.
Before I come here, for the last 2 months and a half, I've been working up to 10 o'clock at night, pulling nails out of lumber for a fella, for nothing, mind you. Sweating and working. And I want to take 15, 20 minutes for lunch at noon. Fellas could think I was working for wages. But I do it for exercise, that's all I do.
Well, is there anything that the pioneers could do to help you out at any time?
Not a thing. Not a thing.
Is there anyone in town that you would like to greet by name?
Well, there's, I say there's Joe Brissett there. He's a pioneer. He's in pretty bad shape. He's drinking too much.
That don't help it.
No.
Is he up in the hospital, you mean?
No. He's got a cabin in the woods here.
Oh.
He's drinking too much wine.
Oh.
No, that's no good.
No.
That's the fella you meet there, you know.
I talked to him over there. Yeah?
Well, we could go out there tomorrow if you want to his place.
Well, if everybody don't object, I'll do it. But if they want to get away, why, then...
Well, you could go out there.
Because we've been gone since last... Well, how long have we been gone? 15th.
Yeah.
See, we went all over and...
Where are you stopping?
We can stay in his...
Well, you're the fellas who... You passed us, or we passed you when we come back.
I'll wave to you.
Right through, where was you here on the road somewhere?
Mm-hmm. I waved to you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was stopping along there to take pictures every once in a while.
Yeah?
You know, I was admiring the scenery, too. And then I looked at all those different rock formations along the road up there, and I wondered why there wasn't more mining going on, because there's every indication that it's mineralization around here.
There only is on the Norton Creek here. Do you see the old cabins?
Yes.
Well, he stopped to take pictures of the old cabins.
Yeah?
Yeah, I took some as I went along.
Al Stout maybe come. He is doing some work way up in Kobuk.
Oh.
When he finished there, he's coming here and do some mining there.
Oh, he is?
Well, the only prospects, you know. He was here last year, too.
He wouldn't happen to know where Henry Pell was mining about 80 miles this side of Circle City, Henry Pell?
Well, I know him. I don't know where he mined there, yeah.
Well, he told Frank Young, and I guess we're going to have to make a boat trip.
Yes, sir.
See, Frank has Henry Pell's old boat he used to have up
there,
and he's outboard motor. And that's what we've been using downtown there. He left it to Frank Young, and he left the property to the pioneers.
Yeah.
And there's a cabin, a good cabin over there that we should be using once in a while. Or even coming over here where there's a few of you left.
Well, I know now, let's see, that Joe Donahue. He's working for the route, I guess. Joe Donahue.
Oh, Joe Donahue from
Fairbanks? Yeah, he's living in Fairbanks. Let's see. Cross the bridge. What's the street? I forgot the street.
Oh, that's Illinois Street, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Illinois Street.
Yeah, he lives in Fairbanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he used to be here.
Oh, he moved here?
No, he's been here. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he worked for the AFE for a long time.
Yeah. I guess he's still working there, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he works up at the plant.
Yeah. No, he's been here for 7 years. He had a cabin here.
Oh, he did, eh?
Yeah, and he sold it to Mrs.
Polanski.
Oh, I didn't know that he lived
here. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was foreman for the FE on Gold Street.
Yeah.
And I was foreman for the FEL in Fairbanks Creek for a while.
You know Jim Neely?
Sure, sure.
How is he?
Well, he's getting better.
Yeah?
Yeah. For a while there, it was in doubt. But at his age, I understand, when you're older and get it, there's a chance for you to improve.
Yeah.
But if you get that disease, when you're young, you'll die with it.
He was the guy I come in the country with.
Jimmy Newland?
Yeah, he been with 27, see?
Yeah.
We was a nation.
Oh, I see. Oh, you what? Come in with him?
Yes, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I know Jimmy.
We worked in June, Alaska mine, you know.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Then he was up in Canada for a long time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting along pretty good, but he's not working this summer.
No. But didn't he send him to Seattle?
He was in Seattle, and he got looked in the email.
Yeah.
And they told him... he wanted to go to Mayo, brother, and told him it was no use. He said, he might just well go back to Fairbanks if you want to, and
yeah.
And Dr. Chabot would take care of him. So Ted Loftus told me that he's improving. So he's getting along all right.
Well, I know Ted pretty well, too.
Yeah, Ted Loftus, yeah.
He's been here for quite a few years.
Oh, yes.
Well, Ted and Audrey started that idea of a pioneer park a long time ago, and about 3 years ago, the pioneers turned that over and started me on it. Each year, they reappoint me unanimous, and I go after the city and everybody else, and we're getting it.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. We're really going along with it now. We'll have it very shortly.
You see, I got into Fairbanks in 1910.
1910, oh Jesus.
Then my first trip back to the States was in 51. Stayed 41 years on my first trip. I come in the hard way.
Yeah.
Several people over in Dawson said for me to be sure and bring the fellows in to visit with everybody here.
Yeah.
They mentioned you all by name. But forgive me, I can't remember names. I'm meeting so many people so fast. We ate in the little restaurant down there across the, in the Monte Carlo, you know, across from the Keno, you
yeah.
know where it is in Dawson?
Yes.
And, of course, the lady and her husband in there wanted to be sure that we stop and see you. And Ennis Taylor, he and his wife come over to see me while I was getting our tires fixed. Wanted to be sure and said, if you don't find a place, go in our house. There's another couple supposed to go in their house tonight. I think I've seen them tell them, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen Ammon around. He must have got the key, Ammon Hagen.
You have to see him. He belongs to the pioneer or not?
No. He's too stingy.
Well, in Dawson now, they have changed the rules a little. A retired person, it's only 50 cents a month. But for a person that isn't retired, well, they figure they should pay $1.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
Oh, yeah, that's cheap enough.
I got to visit with Corbo again, and Van Bibber, and Katie McLennan, and all those at the home.
Yeah.
And Teddy Watch, he was as good as gold. He was around with me all the time, and Black Mike, and all of them. All of them around the hall there. We had quite a celebration there after the parade. We went down to the Pioneer Hall, and they had a jam session with the Canadian Royal Air Force
yeah.
Band. And they really cut loose and played. They shook the hall. Really had a good time. Of course, they dedicated that theater building. And the Canadian government furnished a plaque for the
yeah.
historical building. And they had the officials from Canada, and they had the Governor Regan over there and his wife. He was a principal talker. He made a good talk for change, no politics. Yeah, he's been getting that better all the time. Of course, he's surprised he sees me wherever he goes now. I met him every place, Angry Sword, the Fairbanks,
yeah.
and all over. And then he sees me at Dawson Airport.
Well, I don't know. I might make a trip sometime here pretty soon.
We go next year if we live. For 17th of next year. 17th of August.
17th of August. No. Well, I'm in mind to see Dawson the first chance I had.
Oh, yeah.
Because
although I've been there, let's see, 55 for the 56. We went there, you know, shampoo when he was here.
Yeah. Well, I was working all the time, and when you work, you can't.
No, no.
But I retired last fall, and that was say, working for others.
Now, I'm going to terminate this and let you hear it back so you know what you said, and
that will be found different.
Yeah,
the voice.
Well, we have to do well,
to sleep for a while.
The time now is
11:20.
Getting towards midnight, and we've had a quite a long visit here with
Dick Bauer.
And have you enjoyed this, Dick?
Oh, I should say.
Okay, and thank you for your time.
I thank you that you came around here.
Okay, we'll see you probably.
Well, it's Monday morning at 6:30 now. I got up about 5. Sun was up, and we're still at Eagle, Alaska, and I'm sitting down in front of the NC store right now, looking out on the Yukon River here. I've been around to take two or three exposures, one of the Amundsen cabin here, the old famous explorer's cabin. And I'm going to walk around a little bit. Andy and Jance are walking around visiting. Where as soon as we get a little gas and some film, maybe we'll get on our way again. This is Monday morning, August the 20th, the first day of hunting season, and I'm at Eagle, Alaska, on the banks of the Yukon River. And while I'm here this morning, I met a gentleman from Edmonton and Ottawa. Are you from Ottawa?
No, I'm from stationed Whitehorse.
Whitehorse.
But I'm stationed in Whitehorse, but I'm in contact with TV in Vancouver, Edmonton, and Toronto.
CBC. CBC.
Yeah, it's a Canadian.
What's your full name now?
Edward Charles Carey.
Edward Charles Carey, yeah. And you know Mr. Anderson.
Oh yeah, very well. We work together, yeah.
And I'd like to just get a few words about you now. What has been your experiences since you come over on this side? Is your first trip?
Not really my first trip. It was the first trip into Eagle, Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not my first trip into Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
I've flown over this area. I wanted to just see what was going to happen if ever we landed. And they got three darn good little flight strips that I've seen so far, and I've only been in here for about 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
See, in the winter time, flying in this country is reasonably okay.
Yeah.
In the summertime, with wheels, was a little dangerous.
You still got to know where to land.
You still got to know where to land. There's good coverage in radio and meteorology, and weather control, and in just the couple of hours that I've been in Eagle, I've seen an awful lot of historical things that I didn't even know about until I got here. So I guess a little bit more advertising internationally has got to be done, and will be done. There's some very interesting monuments, historical signs. The properties are very well developed. There's churches and
Native village.
Oh, yes, down at the Native Village. Yes, that was all Native Village, I suppose, down where the big church was.
One item that you haven't got to see yet is this old military barracks with these stables in it. You must see that up at the end of the airport there.
Oh yes, and that would be on the left-hand side. No, the right-hand side of the road going out, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
at the end of the airport.
Go right at the end of that strip up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that'll be fine.
And you'll see the several other buildings I mentioned about the cemetery also.
Okay, we'll take a squint at that
too. Did you get the native? See the native cemetery down here about 2 miles from.
Yes, there's some sias in that. I noticed that, and that's a common name over in the Yukon side too. I suppose the natives have gone back and forth.
There was a number of people I recognized the names of, and I photographed some of that yesterday.
Oh, did you? That's fine.
Yes, that's one of the things ties in with our historical. We have an old cemetery at Circle City where the trees, 8 inches around, have grown right up through the graves, and we intend to go up there and go through that cemetery and photograph everything we can.
Oh, yes.
If they build Rampart, that cemetery goes under the river.
Does it really? Oh, that is one of the things that would be destroyed in the Rampart
structure. That cemetery was established around 1894. Uh-huh. That is the oldest markers we found in it.
I see.
We found one marker in a cemetery here, 1886, in Dawson. That was prior to the time of Dawson.
Oh, yes, that's almost prior to, not prior to Ledoux, but prior to any influx.
Mm-hmm.
Where's 40 Mile from here?
40 Mile is back towards the highway there. You go back to Chicken to go over to 40 Mile.
Oh, I see.
This is a part of the 40 Mile here, though.
Yes.
And the 40 Mile River's right down here.
Yes. But the 40 Mile area is known in Alaska.
This is American River here.
Yeah. This is American, down the bottom.
This is the American River District where a number of early day strikes were made.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
There was discovery number one, I believe, up the road here a short distance.
When you finish talking, you talk to that old man over there in that house, and there's another man around the corner that can give you in this cabin right over here, that can give you quite a lot of information on that.
Well, if we can bring the CBC fellows in next year on the river tour, I'm sure they'll find an awful lot of very interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
And it will have an international portent, I'm sure.
If they build Rampart, it comes up within 12 miles of Eagle here, the water does. It raises it, you see.
I was going to ask about that, if it would flood this area.
It comes right up just 12 miles below here.
Well, we hope to get into Circle and possibly Tanana. I believe on the maps we can get in with the Land Rover into Tanana.
It might be of interest to you to know that this village down here is less than 5 miles from the Canadian line, and by river it's about 12 miles over to the Canadian line.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's how close we are to Canada here.
Of course, I thought I was way in Alaska.
And right down around the corner here, you'll see the old customs office. We go right around the...
Yes.
Have you been down?
Yes, we have pictures of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Was this a very largely populated
This place? Wasn't the largest city, but it's one of the oldest civilized cities here in the interior. It's one of the oldest. But Circle City was much larger. They had around 30,000 people there during the gold rush. And when they struck it at Nome, they went to Nome and to Dawson, 98, when they struck it in Dawson. People left here in a period of 10 or 12 years. This country was almost deserted.
Well, they went from here to Nome.
Yeah, in 1902 they headed Fairbanks or Pedro Creek, and they moved that way too.
Gee, it kind of exploded from here
in
all
directions.
Yeah, they did.
A circle was a river base where they come in from by river in the summertime with freight and passengers, and overland trail through Dawson and White Pass.
I see.
That route.
Uh-huh. And these roads that were graded, if you want to...
This little interview here, I'm in front of the NC store at Eagle now, visiting with this gentleman from White Horse, and we'll terminate this little interview for now, and the time is 1 minute of 8 o'clock in the morning, and there's bright sunshine and very little clouds in sight. We've got a wonderful day to start out, and I'll carry on from here as we take off. Well, the time is 6 minutes after 9, and I've filled with gas and oil at the NC store at Eagle City. I've got a couple of more rolls of pictures here, and this boy waiting on me, what is your name?
Biederman.
Mr. Biederman? What's your first name?
Horace
Biederman. Well, he's a famous name. I've heard of him before. You managing the store for NC here?
Yes.
Well, thank you for waiting on me and your patience. We hope we can send you some business one of these days. Well, I see Jansen.
This is Barney Hansen.
This is Barney
Hansen.
Hansen? And yep. You're a member of the Igloo 4 too, aren't you?
No, I'm not a member.
We're going to have to get you in. I understand you're... Yeah. When did you come in the country?
1929.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Well, you're still
but,
eligible.
I'll tell you, I've been a pioneer all my life. I've been in the hills practically all my life, even outside in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Andy, now you tell me about where you've been.
Well, we met Barney Hansen up the road here, and I asked him if he knew where Eamon Hagen was living. He says, yes, I know where he lives, and rather than to point it out to you, I'll take you over there. And he took us over there to Eamon, and he lives in a great big log house. There are about two big rooms and a big back shed, and he's got all kinds of stuff over there, relics, some of it. And we talked about the early days, of course. And Eamon himself does not belong to the pioneers of Alaska. And he has worked on the Yukon tours for Ennis Taylor for the last 3 years. And he's a nice fellow, and he made coffee for us.
Eamon also worked on Esther Creek and down on Gold Hill for Schultz's brothers. You remember Big Schultz's? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he worked for those there on Gold Hill a long time ago, drifting, drift mining, in the teens there. I don't know, along about 1914 or 15 in then. Yeah, Eamon did. He'd been in the country quite a long time.
He came to the country in 1911. To Chicago, and he was there for 4 years, and then he came to Alaska, and he's been there ever since. He was born in Norway, in Gudbrandsdalen, what he told me, and he's a very nice fellow, and he doesn't look his 72 years of age. To me, he has dark hair yet.
Yeah.
So he wanted our address, and I gave him my address in town, and Jens Welsin did too. But Jens, of course, he'll be going back to Seattle. So I told Eamon when he comes to Fairbanks to look me up. So he just now said goodbye to him.
Well, Andy, you did your duty for the pioneers. You know, Andy's on that visiting committee, and he's supposed to do these things. Of course, we're just his helpers.
Now, next we have to get Barney Hansen into the Igloo number 4 in Fairbanks. You are coming
and
back.
And my
then.
Wife, too.
Yeah, and his wife. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, we're eligible, both of us.
Yes,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, only you have to be eligible, and she can go in now.
Yeah, well, she was here before I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, she came in 25.
So it was lucky that we met Barney Hansen, I'd say, because it makes this trip a bit more pleasant.
Well, we're all filled up and ready to start on a trip, and I'm going to stop the recorder now because...
You want to tell him about your mining here?
Oh, just a minute. He's going to...
Oh, I've been mining here in the Eagle District ever since 45. I was mining here. I started mining in the 70 Mile in 29. But then I went to July Creek and I worked there for 2 or 3 years. From there, I went to Esther and. Cripple Creek, and was hydraulic foreman for the FE company there for several years. And in 42, went outside, Jack Boswell and I went outside together on the same airplane and come back in 43, the winter, and went back in the power plant, and from there to
That's where
I came back.
Yeah.
From there I came back home here to Eagle and have been mining in the Eagle District ever since. And
well, isn't this known as American River or American Creek over here?
No, I was on 70 Mile.
On 70 Mile?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's still in the Eagle Recording District.
Mm-hmm.
And then here, about in 46, I bought Sandy Johnson's ground down on Bend Creek, next to Coal Creek, and I still mined on Alder Creek and on Crooked Creek at the 70 Mile, but after that, I went down to Bend Creek and was there, and this summer we sold out, and now I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, you come in town.
Well, that's what we're thinking about doing, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to make it so the tourists will come out here and spend their money.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you, Barney, for this story. Well, we left Eagle, and the time now is 10:25, and we're down here to King Salomon Creek. It's marked mile 131.6 from the Alcan Highway. And there's a beautiful fishing spot here in the campgrounds. Several people here. It's a state campground. This is really a whiz of a fishing creek. Just passed milepost 121 on our way back to the highway from Eagle, and I stopped and took a couple of snapshots of the roads and the valleys here and the scenery. We're on our way again. At mile 113.5, we picked up a chunk of coal and a piece of granite. It looked like monument granite or tombstone granite. And we'll take it in town with us on this trip. We just stopped down here at the 40 Mile River Bridge and talked to a man by the name of Lou Sheen. I've seen him in town, Fairbanks. He's just living here at the camp. The camp is owned by Dave Weston. And they intended to build a roadhouse in here at one time, and the family had to go to school, the kids, and my wife got sick, and they had little problems, and it's not exactly abandoned, but they stopped work on it. And he's working on a construction job down near Big Delta at the moment. I just stopped and took a picture back on, shooting back towards Eagle on this road at, I photographed this at mile 96. Just at the junction of the highway here. Now we stopped here to take a picture of the old drudge, and we've been traveling down the Taylor Highway from the junction, the Y, and we're about 86 miles from 40 Mile Roadhouse on the Alcan. The time is exactly 12:30. We stopped at about mile 77 here on the Taylor Highway by a lake located on there. We see a lot of birds, and this lake is just like a mirror. We see a fish down there jumping, and the birds chasing the bugs on the water. Probably ducks. They look like ducks from here. And it's just like a great mirror with fish jumping all over it and birds swimming all around it. See that bunch down on this end, Andy? He sees seven ducks in that one group, and they're swimming. They're really stirring up the water. Oh, yeah, they keep turning around and going back and forth. Well, this is a beautiful shot in here of this valley. It's quite a large valley. There's several, they look like lakes, but they're part of the river. A wide part of the river. Yeah, the fish are still jumping down there. Well, that's all for the moment. It's 3 minutes to 1 o'clock, and we're just crossed the South Fork Bridge here above McComb's place. And Bob and Molly McComb run this roadhouse here. I've taken pictures of it on previous trips.
I saw the fish jump from mosquitoes on the lake.
We just stopped at George McComb, or Bob McComb's roadhouse and had lunch. And the time is now 1:28, and we're getting ready to leave to go on towards home.
I just took a picture here of a beautiful valley on mile 32 of the
Taylor
Highway. And we're about 32 miles out of 40 mile or on the Alcan Highway. The time is 4 o'clock and we have just leaving the Taylor Highway, and the mileage here is exactly 35,700. This is the end of reel number 2 of this trip to from Fairbanks to Dawson and Dawson to Eagle and from Eagle back to Fairbanks. There'll be one more part on the next reel.
First, there's an awful lot of news that we can't hear, dear. Come on.